can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, if you guys are just joining me today, yes, I'm flying solo. Olivia's working on another project, and Doc Bill's down on the farm on the coast of Georgia. But hey, I've got you guys with me today, so no worries. We're talking about New Mexico, and I want to share something with you guys today because, you know, I really think about a lot when I'm going places, really, what does the land, what does the place, the home, mean to people? How is it culturally connected? How are we connected to the places where we were born and the places where we stay? Well, I had a chance to talk with someone while I was there who is the owner of the B&B where I stayed. Now, if you guys love B&Bs, you're going to love this one, even outside of the great story. It's called the Red Horse Vineyard and B&B. Again, that's Red Horse Vineyard B&B. And it is operated by Darlene Capshaw and her husband, Phil. And the B&B is actually the home of her father, Carl Lodine, who actually lived there since they moved to New Mexico quite a few years ago, and that's where he raised his family. Now, his wife, Donna, passed away a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago, and that was when they decided to turn their family home into a B&B. And this historic location is along the El Camino Real path, and it has a lot of historic connections, including Confederate soldiers camped out on the land that's there during the Battle of Albuquerque. It's also the home of where stables were located for the horses in the Pony Express. So there's all kinds of connections there that you'll find on that actual land where this B&B is located. So a fascinating, fascinating story. So I sat with Carl and I wanted to just find out for him a little bit about the history of that land, of the home, and for him to tell me a little bit about who he is and why he started a B&B called Red Horse, because he's actually born in Kansas, but he is a Swede, and he's so proud of his homeland of Sweden that with the pride in his homeland, that is when he decided to name the B&B Red Horse after the Danish dollar horse, which is red. So take a listen here as we talk with Carl.
Well, the valley up until 1932 was kind of a swamp. You know, the river just east of here, and the floodplain for the Rio Grande River is about 5 miles wide. So nobody lived down this part. Mm-hmm. And in 1932, they channelized the river, and then they could start living on this property. So this guy homesteaded this land in 1930, or actually before that, 1870, mm-hmm. is when he started this property. And he got a pretty good deal. He got all the several miles of land here, 50 cents an acre. But it flooded every year. Mm-hmm. That's why my house is elevated 3 feet, because mm-hmm. the river flood right up to the yard here. So then once they channelized the river, then the valley started populating. And it's been all farm ground up until the last 20, 30 years. When I moved down to this part, it was all racehorse country. Mm-hmm. And now the houses are taking it all over. But the guy that homesteaded it was an Englishman named Charles Ellis. Came here in 1870. He started this house in 1916. First thing he built was a wine cellar. At least his heart was in the right place. Then the house, he started up with the house in 1920. Took him 10 years to put the walls up on the house because the whole house is built out of adobe bricks out of the pasture. Mm-hmm. So I tell people it's a mud house. Mm-hmm. And it's unique because it's one of the only two-story adobe houses in the valley. Almost all of them are just one story because of the way they're built. Mm-hmm. So he finished his house in 32. And as they were moving in, he was carrying stuff in from the old house and he lay down and died. So he never lived in the house.
Oh.
So he owned it until his wife and kids opened until 1940, when a fire came down the ditch and burned all the barn and all the buildings, except the adobe buildings, which is the house and those two long buildings out there. Mm-hmm. And then he sold it to another guy that had it for 23 years and never did a bit of maintenance. So I bought it in 1968. It was in pretty bad shape. So I was had a 5-year plan to fixing it up. When I built this part of the house last year, that was the third year of our 5-year plan.
Okay.
50 years later. We don't rush into things. But this room we built as part of the bed and breakfast. My wife passed away 4 years ago. And what do I do with a house this size? Hmm. Kids gone. So I told the kids I was going to sell it. And they said, no, we want to open up the B&B like Mom wanted to. Hmm. I said, okay. I said, I'll put up the money. You do the work. Hadn't quite worked that way either. I'm working harder now than I did before. But running a B&B is very enjoyable. It's amazing the people. In a year and a half, we've had people from, like, 38 countries and almost 45 states. Mm. And it's just very interesting just talking to the people every day.
I would think that's probably one of the most interesting things about running a B&B would be the people that you meet from all around the world and kind of hearing their stories and why they're here visiting.
Well, that's why I have a hard time getting any work done because, you know, we have breakfast. They all come to the breakfast table. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and listen to them talk till maybe 10 o'clock before I even get to work. And then we take tours of the place, take a tour of the house in the wine cellar, which has been there since 1914. Mm. And then my old equipment in the wine cellar was bought from... He went back to England in 1872 and bought the crusher and the press that's down in the basement. Mm-hmm. I still use them.
Mm-hmm. And how many bottles of wine do you produce a year?
About 300.
And all from the grapes that you grow right out of your vineyard right here?
Yeah. The only way you can drink my wine is to stay here at the B&B. We don't sell in any place.
Mm-hmm. You give me a description of where the valley is in connection or in conjunction with Albuquerque.
Okay, the Rio Grande River comes from Colorado, runs through Albuquerque all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, and it's like the second or third longest river in the United States. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Mississippi and the Columbia are both big rivers. But the valley is where it runs through here, it's about 5 miles wide, and got mountains on both sides, so it's built like a V down below. Mm-hmm. So it's sand as deep as you want to go. Mm. And our water comes from about 1,000 feet down, it comes out of Colorado. So that's why we have good water. Mm-hmm. But the valley flooded up until the 30s, so nobody lived here. The old town is built north of us, they're built on a little higher land in that area, and then all the South Valley is a floodplain. Mm-hmm. So that now that they built all the dams up north, then all this is developed. But what they call the South Valley runs from Central on down clear to Berlin. Mm-hmm. About a 30-40 mile stretch.
And most people coming to Albuquerque are probably looking to go to places like Old Town and, you know, see the city. So how long does it take to get into that area from your B&B?
We're exactly 4.5 miles from downtown. Mm-hmm. So probably 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Very convenient.
It is. Also, the airport is just 4 miles east of us. Mm-hmm. So that's very convenient. So it's really a nice area of town to stay because you're close to everything.
I was just amazed with his story. I mean, he talks a little bit about the land here, but when we come back after a break, I'm going to jump back in and talk with Carl a little bit more because I'm telling you, this guy has a story and I got it out of him. He's got a great story and I wanted to share it with you guys. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. And the show today, as always, is brought to you by the Sapphire Island Birdhouses. Back in a minute.